Hey, I just got back from lunch. Did you finish that report yet?
Not exactly. Still working on it. I'm not finished just yet. I got a little sidetracked, but I will get them to you first thing this afternoon.
It is first thing this afternoon.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but I mean, I am working
But
on it. I'll have
what do you mean that the report isn't finished yet?
I'm still in the process of working on it. I've just been a little distracted.
Distracted. Our meeting starts in an hour.
I can have it.
No. What were you doing? Were you listening to another hunting podcast again? I swear, I give the staff in this office the freedom to do whatever they want to do as long as they meet a deadline. That is the first bullet underneath your job description. Pays attention to detail and deadline. And deadline. Dude, are you even listening to me right now?
Welcome to episode 172 of the White Tail Distraction Podcast. My name's Austin, and joining me in the podport, the garage of goodness, the not the rack shack, Chuck Hedlund. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. It's heated. I'm happy.
Yeah, nice and toasty in here.
I actually brought the scree jacket over today because it was cold enough for it.
Yeah, man.
What the hell's going on right now? We had spring early. Now it's cold as shit again. And then it's going to rain.
It was 75 degrees the other day.
And it's snowed for 3 days straight.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Makes sense.
It does.
Hopefully the turkeys are all making it through here okay.
I'm hoping to.
Yeah. Hopefully they're gobbling their faces off here in no time.
That'd be nice. Something similar to like...
Yeah.
Like that.
Did you see, though, how green it's been getting?
Oh, dude, I'm nervous.
I'm hoping this cold spell kind of slows things back.
Gonna get real green.
I hope not.
I hope not,
because
too.
Because if it gets up in the 70s again, it's going to get bad for us.
Yeah, it's going to get gnarly. We got a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Long wait.
Long wait.
Way too green.
Yes, sir.
Well, speaking of Scree, there's a bunch of things going on at Scree right now.
There's all kinds of stuff going on at Scree.
Did you see the new packs they're dropping?
I did. I've been looking at them for a long time, man. You know what? Scree Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I got a bone to pick with Scree. Scree Canada's had some cool
Scree
shit
Canada's
for a
where
while.
It's at, dude.
Dude, they've had bino harnesses, backpacks.
Uh-huh.
All kinds of stuff.
And not here. Not the U.S.
Not here. No, they got a thermocell holder that goes on your backpack.
Honestly.
I don't know.
Why would they do that to us?
I don't know. They got coolers.
I thought
Scree
they loved
branded
us.
Coolers. I know.
You know, I'm going to say one thing real quick, and this might not be a favorite opinion, but fuck Canada.
Blame Canada.
Anyone else agree?
I don't know. Trudeau's looking a little crazy, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
F Canada.
Yeah, okay. Well.
The only good thing Canada's ever given us was South Park, let's be honest.
I'm okay with it. Anyway, back to Scree here. If you go on their website right now, they are giving away one hell of a hunting trip.
Yeah.
A $10,000 package for a
Saskatchewan.
Black bear hunt. It yep. looks awesome, man.
$10,000 hunt package giveaway.
Yep, all kinds of stuff. Bunch of Scree gear.
Yes, sir.
Yep, Schnee's boots.
They're going to get you ready to go on that hunt, and it's awesome.
It is going
to
be awesome.
I put a couple entries in. Maybe I'll win.
I put an entry myself.
Can I take a buddy?
I hope.
That'd be awesome. I don't know if I can or not, but
probably
anyways,
not.
Go buy some Scree stuff. Go sign up for the giveaway. Check out their new backpacks that are dropping. If you're not a VIP member, you can sign up for the Hunt Club and get these early access to these packs. There's two different packs that they're about to drop. So
that's right. Don't forget to use code WDP20 for 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah, yeah. What do we got next?
VIP archery.
Yes, sir.
Looking gnarly, man. Look at that, man. They're still mm-hmm. $15. Unbelievable.
Best $15 ever spent.
175 grains of turkey chopping freedom hatchets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to put one of them through a coyote. See what happens.
I don't think that would work out well.
For the coyote. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds like a bad day for him. But
yeah.
100% made in America, veteran owned, Freddy Krueger blood. I had to get that in there. Moving on. Back 40 Seed Co.
Yeah, Back 40 Seed. It is time. If you have basically one more chance at frost seed. So it's cold as shit right now. If you got seed on the ground today or tomorrow or even this weekend, you're doing okay. So get your clover down, get your lime down, whatever you need. If you don't know what you need, give the guys a call. They'll hook you up.
Super nice guys, and you know, especially for our area.
Yeah.
Formulated for Pennsylvania, but it works everywhere.
For Pennsylvania by Pennsylvania.
Something like that.
Like FPPP. It's not like FUBU, but you know what I'm saying.
Right? I know what you mean. I'm failing you on that one.
I'm going FUBU for seed.
Use code distraction10 for FUBU seed.
Or else buy us.
Last but not least, A&F Custom Calls.
Kyle Allen, my boy.
Kyle Allen, man.
He'll be on the podcast.
We got a nice little 3-pack in the giveaway.
Yes, we do. Yep. We're doing the Hunter Series, correct?
We are. The Hunter Series.
Hunter Series 3-pack. We have some others ordered on the way. So that's going to be freaking awesome.
And again, if you don't know what you want, call him up. Kyle's a great dude. He's very knowledgeable. He's a great turkey caller. Makes great products. So.
Yep. Order on his website. Hit him up on social media. Let him know that we sent you. Maybe he'll hook you up with something good. Probably not.
Yeah, maybe. Kyle's stingy. I don't know.
But I'm just kidding. Kyle's coming on. We're going to do a podcast with him soon. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be a good one. That's all it for business, man.
Boom.
Oh, not it for business.
Not it for business.
We have some new Patreon members.
Yeah. Shout them out.
Cody McClintock.
The newest.
He is the newest. My man. He's been on the podcast a couple times. Mm-hmm.
I think he just signed up so he can go turkey hustle.
He might. Is he coming?
Hey, I think he is.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Which we've been saying, if you want to come turkey hunt with us, you just have to pay us some money. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I'm totally kidding. But yeah, Cody just joined recently. We have Nick Chandler as well.
Nick Chandler on there. Yeah. I don't know if we shouted him out last time or not, but I didn't want to miss him. So.
Yep. Who else we got?
Him and Chris Hodges.
A couple of Florida boys.
Good dudes. Really good dudes.
Really good. For sure.
For sure. So,
thank you, boys. Yeah. Welcome to the Patreon.
Huge thank you.
Family, if you will.
Yeah.
Our Marco Polo has been going off lately. It's a lot of good fun.
It's been wild.
So there's a lot of people around this table here tonight. Let's get into some of these guys here, since they're not Patreon members because they're losers.
Someone who came turkey hunting with us last year.
Losers.
What's up, Seth?
What's going on, guys?
Hat guy Seth.
Yeah. Our hat guy.
Yeah.
I always tell everyone, I got a guy.
I got a guy.
You need hats? I got a guy.
I'll make them.
My hat. But oh, man. Somebody. Shit. I had something I was supposed to ask. Okay. I remember. I'm going to write it down. I'll talk to you after.
Yeah.
Buddy of mine. I was like, hey, my hat guy's coming tonight. Mm-hmm. I'll talk. Yeah. So you're my hat guy, Seth. We do some dirty, dirty exchanges in that Dunkin' Donuts parking lot.
I'm telling you. We haven't had the cops called yet.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Especially when I show up in my truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's fine.
I love it.
Most of the time, all I have on is a hat, and that's fine.
How else do you sell your product you're not butt-ass naked with just your hats on?
That's it.
Where are they going to look? They're going to look at your face.
It's marketing.
And then, boom, there's a hat. Well, why is he only wearing a hat? Because it's Coyote Creek Custom
Coyote
Hats.
Creek Custom.
Bam.
That's it. Yep.
Booyah. Welcome, Seth. First time on the podcast, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yes, sir.
Good to have you, buddy.
I wanna go turkey hunting with you someday just to learn the ways.
Oh, we'll go. We keep talking about it, but we really, 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 really need to go. I think we'd have a lot of fun
to do it.
We're getting closer every year.
We're there.
This is it.
We're there this year, this spring.
This is our year, baby. This is our year. Yep. Right, I'm writing this down.
Hey.
You're
talking to my guy all wrong. It's the wrong tone. Do it again. A stab in the face with a soldering iron.
Sorry, Joe. I'm still going with you to Virginia. Sorry, Joe. Who else we got? We got Kyle Lambright.
Yes, sir.
The bright point of this this podcast tonight, huh?
I see what you
did
there.
Little shining star.
Yeah. Hey-o.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, not much. You know, just hanging out, keeping low.
Yes, sir.
For the time being.
Joints
ready
and sippies.
For turkey season. Yeah. You guys are very great hosts.
Well, thank you.
Table full of whiskey and... even got ginger ale there if I get a little...
If you're feeling thirsty.
If I need to put my skirt on, dump a little bit of that in my whiskey.
Yeah.
There you go.
You never know.
Don't give me too much of a hard time.
No, you'll be all right.
And last but not least, we invited one other guy. Actually, I don't even know if this was a formal invite. He just kind of showed up at my doorstep.
I just snuck in and I don't care.
Sibs is here. Brian Sibeli.
Yeah, how about that Bassmaster Classic this weekend, huh?
Oh my God, did he really just say that out loud?
No, nobody wants to talk. All right.
Oh, man.
Bass?
It's turkey season.
On this podcast? That will never happen again.
It's about the turkey and being a dog buffalo soldier. And come on, man. You know the bass.
About the bass.
Oh, my goodness.
We're not here to talk about the bass.
All right.
Classic.
I get it.
It is exciting. Whenever it comes on, why don't you just shoot me a link? I'll watch a little bit while I'm pretending to work.
All right. I'll shoot you this weekend.
It starts tomorrow. First round?
Yeah.
Where are they at?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I forget.
Isn't the Bassmaster Classic always in Tennessee?
No, they move it around.
Do they?
Yeah.
Last year was in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I knew that much.
Yeah, I remember from Guck.
Yeah, from Guck. All right, off of that subject, thank God. Remember what Mike
done with fishing.
On? You can mute that whenever you need to.
I remember which one it is.
We're good. Please don't.
So what's up, boys? What's new? Everyone's ready, obviously, very impatiently for turkey season, huh?
Yeah, the weather. Patiently, you know, closely watching the weather patterns.
Has anyone been out listening yet?
No.
No, early? I feel like...
I went out looking.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like, I feel like if I go out there, it's like, I don't know, I mean, it's just like, it's too early to go out and, like, have your...
I mean, I was out listening while coyote hunting, if that counts.
No, that doesn't count.
Oh, it doesn't count? Because, I mean, there were turkeys literally roosted, like, 20 yards from me.
Yeah, but are you going to turkey hunt those spots?
Not if Seth knows I'm there.
I mean...
Because Seth, that's those are
listen,
Seth's
that was
spots.
My spot, but... Sibs, how much do you got in your wallet? I mean, it all depends on...
Listen, man, we could talk after this. That's no big deal.
A little trespass fee.
Sounds like he's got a little in his wallet.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
A little jingle.
A little jingle jangle.
I will sadly announce that I did lose my permission again this year on that private property where you shot your bird.
Which one? Oh,
I know. It was supposed to be so good this year.
What happened?
The landowner has a friend who turkey hunts now, apparently.
Can we... Like, physically do something to that guy or no?
Well, no, because he owns the property.
No, so the friend.
If I knew who he was.
Well, let me get on. Figure I'll get on LinkedIn out. Later. Don't worry. I'll figure him out.
A little Tonya Harding there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty hurt about
a little
it.
Tonya Harding there.
A lot
nice
of accidents
happen.
A lot of accidents out there, boy.
I'm an old soul.
But I have been out driving around a couple old. Times looking for birds, trying to find them, asking permission. I've visited a place. They weren't home. I saw they had a truck in their front yard, so I called that number. They didn't answer. I left a message. They haven't called back.
I'm super interested in your truck. That's how you do it. And you go and you look at it.
Listen, by all means possible, like you got to try to find a way to get a hold of these people.
And then while you're there, you just got to be like, did I just hear a turkey?
I've talked to this guy in the past and he's literally said to me like, hey, it was middle season. We drove by. There was a bird in his field. I found him. I went to, he was standing right there. I was like, hey, man, you got anyone hunting here? And he was like, well, there's a couple guys that are already hunting. Come back next year before the season early enough and I'll get you in. So here I am, plenty early enough.
Plenty.
Got to find them.
Yeah.
I might drive by there every day and wait for
go back again tomorrow.
It's so much like dating. It's not even funny. It's like, it's like just trying to find them in the right mindset. Get in and then you're good. But Sibeli, you don't know anything about that.
No, I'm smart.
Hey, you were trying to get permission the other day. What happened?
Yeah, that's... I decided finally to go to this one spot that is on the way to the normal game lands I go to. And there's always birds in those fields. Literally, I sent them like dozens of polos last year of just you literally stop at like a stop sign. And in this one field, they're like right up against the road, just circling each other, like just strutting like madmen. And I went to go there the other day to ask permission. And it's a little bit of a private drive that leads down to where these buildings are for whatever the construction site or whatever the company is that owns the land. And you get like halfway down this road and there's just a big gate that says no soliciting and definitely no hunting allowed. And I was like, all right. Well, I was like, let's just, I'll save the extra 70 yards of gas that I'm about to waste going down here. I just did a quick little U-turn and went home instead.
Yeah. Well, so, I'd say like turkey hunting and asking like permission of certain landowners, it's a little bit, I almost feel like that's a bigger part of the game than it is with deer. So. I actually have permission in this farm at this farm down in Beaver County, and the gentleman there. I mean, it's very difficult for me to go talk to this guy. I almost like I try everything in my power to say I don't have time to go talk to his name's Dan. Super nice guy.
Shout out Dan.
Dan the man.
Dan is the man. I will tell you now. Dan is he lives on a farm that his parents left to him. And he is definitely a special individual. He's maybe on the spectrum, maybe a touch of the tism. Is that something I can say? I
don't know. Candy bars.
Terrible timing.
Hey, we're all comics here.
So he's you're just more worried about like he wants to talk a lot.
Yeah. It's difficult. You know, you go there. You want to get in and out, but you know, honestly. You owe something to that landowner, you know, and what I found out pretty quick was, you know, Dan and I actually became friends. He doesn't have many people to talk to. And generally, these old farmers that have a lot of property, they just want somebody to talk to.
Yeah, you know,
and the older they get, the less they're able to walk their fields. So, you know, targeting them not that you don't want to use the term target, but finding those guys, it's not that difficult, you know?
Yeah.
There's, you drive around, you see turkeys in the field, pull up your Onyx, see who lives there, you know, go knock at the door, you know? People these days are,
they have,
I think, a
normal
little more
name,
open to
they're
that.
Probably old.
As long as their driveway is not like 100 yards long, that's, and, you know, yeah, dirt, and you might want to skip that property.
Intimidating.
Go hit the other places around there first and then maybe come back to it if you have to. But this place has treated me well. But, you know, I put in the work. I stop by there every year. I've been caught up. He's invited me. I've even deer hunted out there, and he invites me in afterwards. And, you know, you got to put in the work a little bit. The one time I ended up sitting there with him after an archery hunt, and we sat down, and he just wanted to talk cars. The guy knew everything about cars and Star Trek. I know nothing about cars and Star Trek. He did not want to talk hunting. Yeah. And right there, I knew, I'm in. This guy doesn't hunt, you know, so, you know, I put in the work, sat there. Yeah, he calls me back every year before I call him. Turkey season comes around. He's like, yeah, I got turkeys out in my field. He's like, make sure you come down. You know, if you have time, stop afterwards and just let me know you're coming. You know, he just wants somebody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And he has something to offer me. I'd need to offer him something.
Yeah.
So, like, retaining permission, it's tough, you know, because they have friends. They have family.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to get the permission before you do, even if you already have it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Sorry, Chuck.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. You got to start cruising, maybe looking for some other birds in other farmers' fields.
I didn't have that property last year either.
Yeah.
There was some stuff going on, so it's not a big
deal. Yeah, and stop killing my public birds.
No, I'm going to kill them all.
You selfish bastard.
I'm going to kill every single one of them that I can.
All right.
But I know the Game Commission, too, they got something like a hunter access program. Like, mm-hmm. if you know, search for it online. And that's how I found this guy.
Okay.
And I was just coming home one day, you know, driving, you know, through Beaver, and, you know, I kind of knew the area a little bit, and I've always drove past this field and seen turkeys there. So I was like, well, let's go see, you know, give it a try. And this crazy guy comes up and knocks, who the hell is this guy? And I was like, oh God, you know, but, you know, I just introduced myself and, you know, told him what I was looking to do and told him I was willing to do a little bit of work. And really, he didn't want me to do work. He just wanted me to talk to him for an hour or two every day I was hunting, you know.
So you just basically roll up and you're like, this box cool, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't even name drop Spock with that.
Yeah.
I am so nauseous.
Live long and prosper,
yeah,
brother.
No. He gave me like a secret handshake or something. No, like apparently like Spock would put his hand, well, he did that, but he would put his hand on somebody's shoulder.
Is there something you want to tell us,
instead of shaking hands, you know, it was a hand on the opposite shoulder. So now I see him, and I do that. I'm in every year, man. I don't got
to
do anything else.
I
give him the old Spock handshake.
Dan Beaver County. Okay. It can't be
good
that
luck,
many.
Man.
Get old Leonard Nimoy, many, dude.
Can't be that many Dans. I'm going to start looking.
There's a few. I didn't give you his last name.
You better be careful, because Chuck's going to put a tracker on your car when you leave here.
It's already on there. Shh. Quiet. Onyx has an update. Stupid.
I know.
Bummer, dude.
Dude, that always hits me at the worst time. I'll be like in the middle of nowhere. Do you want to update now? I'm like, no. not happening. I accidentally hit it once, and I didn't have mapping systems the whole rest of the day. So I was like, that was a mistake. We're not doing that again.
That was a mistake.
If I ever lose my pins again, I'll cry. I'll tell you that right now.
I'll give you mine. Don't worry.
Not
what
pins?
They're all
mine.
He's
just going to share my pins back with me.
Please don't. You're disrespecting me. I don't like that. Please.
Well,
I have 7 of my own pins. I don't need you.
Can you go ahead and delete this?
Those 5 of those 7 of his own pins are 30 yards away from my pin.
Still my pin, dude. Still my pin.
All I can think of when Spelly said that is like that dude from Family Guy. I saw fish.
Yeah.
Pin.
Come on, Sibs.
They figured me out already. I mean, that is my
stick up for yourself.
Nah, that's not worth it.
Hey, Sibs.
Fight.
No one cares about fish.
Everybody. Listen, everybody cares about fish.
Man, they're doubling
just
down on
certain
you.
Certain times of the year, people just refuse to accept their love for fishing. I have it full year round. I mean, it's no big deal.
Hey.
Turkeys are goblin. No one
coming
cares.
Up here.
Exactly.
No one cares about fish.
I'll tell you what I need to do is like start hitting some landowners up in West Virginia, because that place is getting crowded.
Oh, it is.
West Virginia.
Oh, preach.
West Virginia is one of them places, though. Like, I went down there 1 year and we drove around, and it's like everybody that had land, they had that freaking quarter mile driveway. And it was
intimidating.
And it all looks like a driveway. Someone's going to shoot you halfway down it.
Buddy, that's what those letters in this package are for.
It's worth it.
Yeah, but like I was down there. Like, I was already there. I was looking for a spot. You know what I mean? Like, that weekend, we were looking for a place to hunt. And it was just like, we were driving around. I'm like, dude, I don't want to knock on any of these doors right now.
Didn't you say you were going down there Sunday?
Yeah. No, I'm not worried about that. This was years ago. This was years ago. But I'll tell you what, there's some really good property in West Virginia.
Drop me some pins whenever you get back?
No.
Okay.
about 2-ish hours away, I want to say it is, West Virginia, somewhere around like 2 to 3 hours thing, like central West Virginia. A buddy of ours has some inns on some property down there.
Oh, that's so good.
I may or may not try to hook up with him this year and get down there. I guess they got birds just crawling all over their property. And none of them guys hunt birds. They don't hunt turkey.
Throw the pins?
No pins. Zero pins. But the funny part about that was the year that I was talking about where I was driving around asking permission and stuff, we were literally only like in the mile of the property that he now has been hunting. We were right there.
Yeah.
Like neighboring properties. We probably potentially could have went and maybe tried that one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is cool.
That far away, you know.
It's kind of like shedding Sibeli. That's the hard part.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
Getting rid of him.
Yeah. He's like...
what, a medium-sized tick?
Yeah. He's like half full your blood already.
Yeah, he's like already sucking your blood out.
Yeah, I'm like once I latch, you got to like try multiple methods. It's not like an easy like twist and pull for me. Yeah, you got to like try burning me off, put some Vaseline on me.
Yeah,
you
know, Vaseline like, on the back.
I bought every Vaseline there is.
He's not just going to back out.
You always got a tub of Vaseline, right?
Oh, always. Yeah, always. Keep gloves, garbage bags, and Vaseline in my car year-round. Don't ask me why.
Zip ties.
Where were all those when we were dismantling those rabbits at the tailgate that day?
Good Lord.
Just dismantling.
We pulled apart some rabbits this one time, and it was just literally chaos. Just absolutely dismantling these things like demons.
Did you keep the back straps?
Oh, we kept the whole rabbit.
Yeah, we kept it. I haven't eaten it yet. It's like 3 years old.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is, were the back straps still intact?
Oh, yeah.
Or did you make nuggets out of them?
No. They were good.
Like, I'll tell you what, like rabbit.
We're good.
Rabbit loin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't eaten them yet. They're still in the freezer.
Dude, what are you doing?
I like to let things simmer for about 2-3 years and then I eat
freezer burn, huh?
Yeah, freezer. Good freezer burn layer on there. Yeah. Get it nice and dark brown.
Yeah. Sounds delicious.
I gave him my turkey I shot last year just like a month ago to cook.
Yeah, freezer burn.
Yeah. Freezer burn for sure. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
trimmed off all the edges.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're good.
What are you gonna do?
It ate great.
Oh, it was delicious.
Well, that's all that matters in the long run.
That Jake was 4.5 weeks old when I shot it, I think.
Yeah. Oh, you guys want a cooking tip?
No.
Okay.
Move on. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for coming out.
Cooking tip for what?
Have a good night.
For turkey.
Oh, okay.
So I know a lot of people. I won't point fingers. Seth, come on. I'm getting serious. I'm giving you good recipes here.
All right.
I'm listening.
So turkey legs. A lot of people toss them. I know.
I keep them.
We don't. We know what we're doing. They're good stuff. Uh-huh. But they take forever to cook. Braise them. You know, they're in the crock pot for 15 hours. Where, like, you know, a chicken that's in there for 6 hours. If you have a pressure cooker, throw those drums in the pressure cooker for 20 minutes, then throw them in a crock pot for 6 hours. It's going to half your cooking time.
Okay.
And they're going to shred easy. Those tendons pull right out of there.
Tendons, dude.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like I always cook turkey legs, but I'd wake up early, you know, get in the crock pot at 8. Come 7 o'clock at night, they're still not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Try a pressure cooker. 20 minutes in the pressure cooker. Put them in the crock pot. That stuff will shred super easy. And like I said, half your cooking time.
So you're not deboning them. You're putting them in.
Yep. I'll debone them when I'm shredding it.
Okay.
Those bones stay whole and they'll come right out. Because turkeys, you know, speaking to the layman's here, you know, they do a lot of running. They're not your typical bird. They're not your farm bird. So those muscles, those tendons, basically turn into bones. They're not really edible. So that's why a lot of guys don't want to deal with it because there's 20, 30 bones. I don't know. I'm not a biologist, but there's a ton of bones in there and they just don't want to deal with it. But you cook it the right way, they all fall out, mm-hmm. you know, and then your family's enjoying some shredded turkey and a barbecued turkey sandwiches.
Ooh, solid.
I mean, come
Sounds
on.
Sounds good.
Why would you throw that stuff out?
Yeah, I like to keep your thighs and the drums personally, and I'll put them a lot in like the crock pot or make a soup or something out of them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way you got to do it.
Years and just throw them.
Don't throw them out though. I mean, that's like
there's a lot of meat there. I mean, there really is.
There is. Yeah.
And it's so easy to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you get done breasting them, you literally just pull the skin feathers over. Like, I don't know if turkeys have parts, but I call it the knee.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You pull it over the knee.
Yeah, they got a knee.
Yeah. And then you just snap, and then cut.
Right.
Cut them off at the thigh, and then just start peeling it back. And as you're just peeling it back, you just pour it off.
Yeah. Yeah. You can break that, you know, drum in half. You can't fit in a vacuum bag or whatever. Right. You know, carve that thigh up.
Take one cut down through there and cut
just
them
like
apart.
A chicken thigh. Yep. You know, it's like,
you know. You got a thigh and a drum.
Kyle is a very good taxidermist, but better cook.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's good.
But
you're at the camp with Kyle, like, dinner is going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My goal with like wild game is like, that's like my avenue is the way I like to introduce people to hunting. It's like, if you can introduce people to hunting through their palates, I mean, you got them hooked. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to want to hunt. If you do that, you know, if you cook that meal right, you know, start to finish.
End result.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many things you do. It's just different. You know, you got to pay attention more when you're cooking wild game. And that's because it's wild and, you know, not tampered with. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, you're going to feel better. I guarantee you'll feel better after you eat some wild game. And you just got to, you know, take a little more time. It's a little more preparation involved.
Yep.
But the reward is so much better because you're doing everything yourself. You know?
Yeah. Wild and wonderful. That's West Virginia.
Sums it up. Except for the West Virginia. Just let the wild and wonderful.
It's awesome. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, but turkeys can be hard to cook. That's basically what I was getting at.
The legs and thighs, definitely.
Yeah.
It can be frustrating. But well, I mean, I don't know. If you've come up with a good way to cook deer ribs, I'm more than open ears for them. This shit's disgusting.
But yeah, I got a trick for you.
Okay.
Carve out the meat in between the ribs, throw it in with your burger meat.
Yeah, that's the trick. That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's the only way, dude. I've tried them like three different ways. I carve them out of the ribs anyways, and I had them like little strips, you know, and I put them in the crock pot for hours and hours.
Yeah.
You'd still eat them. That is not good.
I'll be honest. I like that challenge. So I've like never really tried to cook a rack of deer ribs.
Yeah.
But maybe.
There's like a film on that is just not good tasting.
I can see that.
And if you take it off, now you're left with literally almost no meat. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what am I doing this for?
Yeah.
Well, they're so tallowy. I mean,
that's
it's just
what
like,
it is.
Yeah,
like, tallow. Dude, it's not good.
Yeah, whitetail fat does not.
It is not good.
It's not good. It's not good.
Unlike the beef fat that Sibeli over there is going to get me here soon, right?
Papa's going to pick up a nice quarter of a cow Monday.
Oh, boy.
You're getting beef fat.
Well, a cow. He gave me a roast.
Oh, okay.
He gave me a roast out of his last one, and I'll tell you what.
It was good.
Yeah.
Fire.
I dominated the steaks already, so all I've got left is roast and some hamburgers and then one or two other random cuts that maybe I'll just get out of the freezer just for us to put together one night.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you know what? While we're on the topic of culinary, what do you guys mix your like venison burger with? Anything?
Typically, if I mix my burger, which I do, I usually go with like a real fatty
beef. Just beef fat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've always used pork.
I used to use pork.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, it's so much easier to just go to like an Aldi or a Walmart or whatever and get like the 80-20 or 75-25.
Yeah.
Like super fat ground beef.
Yeah.
And I'll just take a little bit of that and mix it right in with this straight deer.
Yeah.
When I'm making the burger. And dude, makes the burgers 10,000 times.
Just when you're actually putting the burger together?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like I will freeze my deer meat, just deer.
Yeah.
That way it lasts a lot longer. There's no fat in there.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. So I'll have just a ton of packages of deer meat that are burgers. It'll just be deer. And then when I pull them out, I'll pull out like a pound of deer and a pound of the other, you know, just regular.
Heck yeah, man.
Or less.
You got to roll the dice like me, but just put it in there. Wait like 2-3 years and then just.
That shit's dangerous. When you start introducing fat.
Can we cut Sibeli's mic?
No, cut the mic. No, I see.
Got it.
Got cut, son.
Just trying to teach you my salmonella tactics for cooking.
No Italian. We don't have the jargon over here.
Whatever. We don't need that guy.
Racism. I don't like it.
But yeah. I will say, I used to do the pork fat. We used to get, and my dad and them, they still do on some of theirs. And I still will say that my burgers taste better personally. Yeah. But you're introducing all that fat to it from beef.
Yeah.
It's like, for me, I'll take beef fat over pork fat any day of the week.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
But I used to do that all the time. We'll get a big pork loin, big fat butt or something, and cut them up and divide it out, and then just mix the pork and the beef together, or the pork and the deer together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I went, I did the whole thing this year. I actually raised a couple pigs. So,
yeah.
And I was like, that's what I really wanted. It's like my girlfriend just brought the pigs home one day, and I was like, great. You know, more animals.
I'm going to kill these bastards.
Yeah, that's essentially what it was. But I had no idea what I was doing. But I was like, I really want to do this because I really want to mix this, like these pigs that I raised on my property. I want to mix that back fat in my venison.
Makes a lot of sense.
Dude, I was like, it was all I wanted to do. I accomplished that this past year. And that was like my only goal. And it's awesome. Good stuff. It's good stuff.
Pork, oh, I believe you.
But a lot of work, too. A lot of work involved in that.
So. Oh, 100%. I mean, if you're taking it from something that's your own, too, I mean, you know exactly where everything that you're putting into that comes from. Like, it's the same reason we eat a lot of wild game. We know where it's coming from. We know we're doing with it, you know. With me just being a cheater and buying, you know, ground beef that's fatty. It's not, but...
No, he is. Don't...
No.
Yeah. No, he's a cheater.
I'm not.
Yeah.
But in this case, I am, you know, because... Yeah. I'm not putting in the effort that Kyle's putting in for sure. Like, that's a lot of effort, dude.
Oh, dude.
Butchering pigs? I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah. I had to reinforce my garage ceiling because each of these pigs, I kept putting it off as like, it's like, I don't really, again, I didn't never did this before.
Yeah.
But I knew just from hunting kind of got me comfortable enough to get ready for raising pigs, I guess. So I was like, well, I do all my own deer stuff. I was like, why wouldn't I do my own pigs?
Right.
You know, and I know it's like there's something to that stress level. You know, you shoot a buck further into the rut. You shoot a turkey further into the season. Mm. They're tougher. There's maybe a little more gaminess involved. I mean, it depends on who you talk to.
Right.
And it depends on how they're, you know, dressing that animal.
Yes.
Exactly.
100%.
But, you know, it got me comfortable enough where I was like, I can do this. And I don't want to stress this animal out. I want it to be the best meat I can get. So I was like, I'm going to do everything start to finish. So I had to buy like angled steel from Lowe's. And I got that, you know, reinforced into my ceiling, a foot apart. And those things still bent, man. Pigs were probably like 400 pounds. And my girlfriend God. And I were like pulling them up and stuff. You know, it's like. And the day we decided to butcher them, too, was like 10 degrees outside.
Oh, nice.
My God.
Yeah, it was mayhem, but the pork's been delicious. So. Yeah, it's all worth it. It's all worth it now.
Did you name the pigs?
No.
Good job.
You never
name an animal you plan on slaughtering.
I told her as soon as she brought them home, I was like, they have no names. Yep. We're not even going to name them Bacon and Pork Chop.
Right.
You know, that's too cute.
Yeah. Those are actually my names for Chuck.
Shut up. I was like, no.
How'd you know that?
And then even like the month, I had to warm myself up for, you know, because you still get attached a little bit. But, you know, they have purpose. They had a great life on my farm. And, you know, it's like time to pay your dues. You know,
how long did you have them?
We had them, I would say, about 6 months or so.
Man,
when we got them, they were probably 50 pounds and by in that 6 months, they were getting close to 400 each of them.
That's insane.
Yeah. And I tell you what else they're good at. If you're a gardener, they'll rototill you up a new garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get some pigs in the fall. You got a new garden in the spring to plant.
They start rooting it up. Pretty bad.
Oh, man. I can't believe how much they would dig.
Yeah.
You know, I knew they did it, but, and then it really puts things in perspective, like what they're dealing with down in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the southern states with the wild pigs. It's like, I've seen it. It's like, man, those things will eat anything.
I've seen it down there. It makes it really, really hard to try to turkey hunt and look for a turkey sign when all you have is pig sign everywhere.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Just destroy everything.
If everyone takes care of some pigs, I have a pretty good head start on that.
You want me to bring my own pig? Is this BYOP?
I'm saying we go down Florida and maybe bust a turkey and then pig hunt the rest
of it. Oh, okay. Shoot a pig, then you'll know how to clean it.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Cool, yeah.
Get you some bacon. You know.
Uh-huh.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Easter's coming up. You need that Easter ham.
Yeah, we've been talking about a good southern pig trip for so long now, man. Just, it needs to happen. I've got a couple connects here and there. Just need to make it happen.
We've got the invite several times.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. It's weird. It's just one of those game animals where you're like, I'll get around to it.
Yeah.
There's no rush on that one.
Right.
It's not really that hard either. You know, probably pretty good success rate.
No. I would imagine.
Like probably 1,000%. If that's such a thing.
It depends where you're at, I guess. If you're on private land and they have a pig problem, you're going to kill some pigs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Especially if they're feeding them or something. I mean, you just sit there on a feeder and just blast them all day long.
That's what the game seems to be then.
But we didn't come here for pig hunting. Let's get back on track.
Yeah, sorry to sidetrack
Seth,
you guys.
Seth's going to be upset if we don't get into some topics, okay?
Right.
Seth just got back.
Where were you, Seth?
Yeah, Seth.
I was getting the whiskey.
That's right. That's right.
You were getting the whiskey.
Yeah.
He was watering the
flowers. If Sabella doesn't tell us how he kills turkeys, I'm going to be pissed.
I can't divulge my secrets.
What are you doing over there, buddy?
What's that?
What are you doing over there? Don't worry about me. I'm just checking my pins.
I want to know what pins he's looking at right now.
I think he's swiping on Tinder.
They're all just public land pins.
Yeah, public land pins.
I did actually.
That's what she said.
I did actually get my first private access this year that I've been still trying to kill a deer with a little management tag.
Let's talk about this, Sabella.
The positive is that I've seen plenty of turkey in these particular fields that I've been going to. So that's been
at least the
little eye candy for me to see a bunch of gobblers walking around just going like, what's this dude doing in this field right now? Like, I shouldn't be seeing anybody, and it's just me going, hey, you guys want to hang around for another month or so? Appreciate it.
I was talking to my friend that lives out there that knows them real well, and he has the same access to hunt deer there, too. He's actually hunted a few of those stands this past fall and had some opportunity and whatnot, and he told me to tell you to stay the hell out.
That's why don't you just go take your ball and go home.
No, that's fine. I'll gladly meet anyone in death combat in any of these fields for the right to hunt these animals. But no, that dude did say that there's a ton of deer on all of his properties. Yeah. 'Cause there's like, where I'm going to, there's like 8 or 9 different spots that he took me to go, you know, that he's like, listen, anything you see, just clobber it. And it's kind of just, you know, a random roll of the dice on which one I decide to hunt over the last like week or so. But
you've just been really picky or
no, just, here's the thing.
I've only seen deer one of the, like, I'd say like maybe 4 nights that I've gone, and I just didn't have a shot on them. They just literally came out of this one tree line so fast, walked through this little open area, and they were already gone. And then once again, since then, that's all I've seen is turkeys.
Yeah. So for those of you that are wondering, how is this guy hunting deer right now? There's a farmer that owns property down there that has a red tag. Yeah, right?
So that's illegal. But okay, it's
totally legal.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Totally legal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He has a tag to hunt deer right now. Went to the courthouse, got the tag, all that good stuff. Or not courthouse. He actually had to go to like a sporting goods store.
Yeah, it was my first time doing it too for these type of tags.
Don't tell them how to do it. Screw them. They can figure it out on their own. No. We don't give away secrets.
No, this is knowledge transfer here. I'm just helping
Sips got his cherry popped.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you literally just meet with the landowner, do a little quick little paperwork, you know, just giving your name, address, all that stuff, and, you know, just random, you know, piece of paper that the game commission, well, you're right over there?
Good Lord.
Karate chop.
That's how I saw what you did there. It got me nervous. But yeah, just a little bit of paperwork, and then you just take it over to any store that'll actually give you some sort of hunting license. Yeah, yeah. So I went to just a local place over by us, Duke's, and it was $1.97 for the tag.
Insane.
And, you know, these landowners have like a decent amount of tags. So, I mean, the guy was like, listen, you can use that tag, come back. I'm sure I'll have more if you want to try to get more deer. So just something fun just to kind of keep me busy till turkey gets here.
So you can ask him all you want about how he kills turkeys, and all he's going to say is he just hunts with me. Okay.
Yeah.
But don't ask him how to kill deer out of season, because he's the absolute worst.
That was my next question.
I mean,
how do you go out right now, this time of year, and not just absolutely murder deer? Like, yeah. I have been in the woods and not even trying, making Sabella type noises.
Hey, whoa. What kind of noises
are those? What about the fawns?
There's a lot of clunking.
What about the fawns?
Burping.
A lot of clunking. And
clunking?
Yeah,
that's clunking. A noise? What's like that, what's that noise sound like?
Here's the noise. It's like, Mom, what's for dinner?
No, that's... If I say something like that, I usually whisper it. It's more of like a regular tone.
He just texts her.
Clomping.
Mom, what's for dinner?
Clonking or clomping?
No, clunking.
Clunking.
Yes.
He wants you to walk on your toes more.
No.
The pads of your feet.
No, you got to swing your feet aggressively.
Sibeli,
you
know,
he wants you to stop kicking Sibeli, all the leaves and rocks.
You got to get a diaphragm call and you got to get it in your mouth.
For deer.
You got to actually make a noise.
For deer?
For deer. Yeah.
Okay.
Get a diaphragm call in your mouth and make a noise.
No, can't do it.
As you can tell, Seth doesn't get out much anymore.
This is Seth's one night out a month.
And we gladly welcome him.
Remember, he didn't want a microphone.
He's pretty happy right now. Yeah,
good for him.
Having a good time.
I'm going to make a clomping noise with it.
You're halfway to becoming a legit turkey hunter.
No, I just honestly, I don't know what. Like, there's like 8 or 9 properties. And the one that I actually finally wanted to go to the other night when I pulled up, there was already 3 trucks parked out there. So I don't know if it's a combination of there's more people than I really actually think that are going there that are maybe pressuring these particular fields a lot. But other than the first night that I went, I haven't seen any deer.
Yeah, he wants his deer gone.
He wants them
everybody
absolutely.
And their mother permission.
He showed me a couple.
Learn to call.
Here's my question. Yeah. How do you think this is all going to play out in turkey season? You think you're just going to have pick of the litter? I'm going to go wherever the fuck I want to go.
No, not that. I mean, there's definitely a lot of space there, but I really don't see myself going to his farm until maybe later in the season. If I last that long, hopefully my goal once again is there's one particular public spot that I go to for at least like 90% of my hunting,
where they all roost across the street,
and it's where you stole one of my birds and scared off my actual one large gobbler that was there last year.
You got
year.
A grudge.
There's well, you a, told me he was across the street. And
I have
he
a,
wasn't.
I have a grudge there,
you
and I'm.
Grudge.
I'm. That's if I can get one somewhere. That's where I really, really want to get one because I've had them close the last 2 years there, and I just screwed up every time. So I'm hoping this is the year that I get it done.
I just don't understand that whole mindset or process that you want to wait on those. Because when you think about it, that private land permission that you have, a lot of those fields and stuff, they're just fields. There's no woods, right? They just own the field.
They just own the fields for the most part. There's one or two fields where it's actually a little bit of like forest timber. That like, yeah, some actual timber you can get into. But I mean.
So what I'm saying is like if those birds get pressured early on in the year, they'll just go to the next farm over, which could hurt you if
He's
you don't
saying
go
you might
want to
hit it early.
I would hit it early.
Hit it early.
What do you mean you don't know? You're telling me you're seeing birds
you
left and right.
Just pretend like
but I know
it's a freaking hot.
I know.
Beautiful
that,
girl.
What?
and you're just talking sweet nothings into her ear.
I wish, man. I wish it was that easy. Anyway, he's trying to allude to the point that I can't use a mouth call, which anytime I try to use a mouth call, I look and sound like
where you need it.
I look and sound like a rabid dog. Just like foaming from the mouth, just going, like I just, such a terrible gag reflex.
Sam,
I can't do it.
Is this what you sound like?
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jacked up on Mountain Dew.
In the mornings when I first get out of the car, yeah, that's exactly what I sound like. But about an hour into walking uphill, that's not what I sound like.
I'm jacked up, I'm Dunkin' Donuts.
One that's worse than that?
I sound like the Joe
Biden. I need a mocha.
I must say, you know, Seth's being pretty hard on Sibs right now, but Seth is a freaking awesome turkey caller. And Chuck, I've heard you call too.
Have you?
You've got me beat, son.
Yeah. Chuck, man.
You too? Austin, Chuck. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's because you guys can fit any call you want in your mouth. You got
I'll
Cro-Magnon heads.
Chuck,
you guys look like fucking cavemen heads.
If Chuck is definitely like a 1A, if Chuck is a 1A, I'm like a 2B.
Oh,
I'm like a way. I'm way after Chuck.
I killed a deer there this year.
Chuck,
I've never
Chuck,
hunted with
you get
any
that
of you guys.
Kill his birds and then I'll start calling them after.
Well,
after
you guys,
Chuck,
you guys got to have some tips working that mouth read.
I'll tell you
or
what I
just
tell
come
everybody.
Natural.
If you, the way I learned, I taught myself. But I will say that I didn't do it myself. I went and the same thing I told Sibeli. Go on, look up Shane Simpson. He has a whole thing on his YouTube channel of just learning how to use a mouth call. I did that. I started learning how to actually like position the mouth call in my mouth, blow on it, and it sounded like what Sibeli's talking about. It was horrible for the first year, like pretty much horrible. Not the first year, but the first couple months, like trying, terrible, terrible. Couldn't make noises, couldn't make the right noises. And then once I started to figure out from his videos, I'm like, oh, that's actually the noise I'm looking for. Building the noise up in the way you build pressure in your chest and everything else, then I started listening to actual live hens and tried to imitate them. And then next thing you know, every time I'm in the woods, if I hear a bird, I'm trying to sound exactly like that bird.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like me. I want to sound like her. She's the one that gobbler recognizes, right?
Yeah.
So I want to sound like her. Mm-hmm. And it just, it's not an easy thing to do. It's
no.
You got to put a lot of work in.
Yeah.
I mean, you really
That's
do.
That's where, like for Sibs, like practicing what you hear from actual hens. Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Like listening to actual hens is where you're going to get where you want to be. Like,
right.
You know, listening to actual hens.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
Seth, do you need to take a nap? Seth is
involved. That made perfect sense.
I'm going to go to sleep.
You would have to mute him for
a
little
while. Know what? I got it. Do you guys trim like your mouth calls? No. You know?
I trimmed mine to the absolute bare bones and I still gag on it.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Listen, I have to
I think
gag
you just got too far back, man.
You just gotta got to keep putting, you literally just have to keep taking that call, throwing it in your mouth, play with it, like throw it into your cheek, throw it back into your mouth, try to make a call, pull it out. Like when I first started, I gagged on the call all the time. You'll get over that. Trust me, you'll get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really will.
That's cool.
It just takes time.
Man. Yeah, I won't do it, but yeah, okay.
Do you brush your tongue when you brush your teeth?
No, absolutely not.
Really? Maybe get used to that. And then
I can't help it.
Stick your tongue out and brush. Expert advice. That was terrible.
Do I have to do it like that, though?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. You have to make that
do
noise.
Do I have to clonk around, like in my bathroom? Is that your clonk? Clunk?
Clunk.
Clomp. Yes. Are you saying clomp?
Clunk.
With a P?
Listen, I can clunk. Help with this clunk, clump situation.
There's
here.
A D on the end.
Oh, okay.
Two N's.
Clund. Okay.
Yeah. Now, no, what about field care? You know, because, I struggled with turkey hunting for a lot of years, and I'm getting to the point where I'm getting better with the mouth calls. Now, I'm killing a lot of birds, but, you know, it's still my main priority is to get better with a reed. So it's like field care. It's like I've heard a lot that you don't want to get that reed really saturated, you know, with spit, of course. Mm-hmm. But so what are you doing? You leaving that call in your mouth all day long?
Have you tried brushing your tongue?
Yeah, I've tried that.
Okay.
Yes and no. So there is a point where a call will get oversaturated and it won't sound the same for me. A lot of times if I'm running the call in my mouth and I got to know that. I'll take it out, turn the reeds towards me, and I'll blow into them.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'll clear them out a little bit. Sometimes I'll just, basically with my mouth, I'll just pull the call all the way almost out, facing the way you would call, and I'll just blow on them from there. And it'll make like that crazy like noise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do that a lot of times just to blow some of that saliva out of the call just to get those reeds kind of cleaned up.
Like an N64 game.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, the old Nintendo
basically, yeah. Except it's like up and down with the call instead of side to side. A lot of times, too, if like I'm running around or something, you know, if I'm going a far way, I'm walking, I'll pull it out of my mouth for a little while.
Yeah.
And just kind of, or I'll bite on the edge of it and hang it out of my mouth.
That's what I do when I'm walking around. Just let it kind of hang on the corner of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But and if it gets too bad, I'll just switch calls with another
one. Yeah.
And have a freshie.
Yeah, I mean, people might be wondering why we're ragging on Sibs so bad for using a reed, but, you know, a lot of weather can probably, you know, dictate whether you're using a reed or a box or pot call or something like that.
They don't call him Box Call Brian for no reason.
Box Call Brian, huh?
I wish. I need to get one of those little mini ones that I can fit on my hand, like while I'm holding the shotgun.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say, push button. Yeah, you know, like learning to use that mouth call is definitely probably going to step your game up.
It will.
You know?
It will. 100%.
Gives you another weapon in the toolbox.
Nah, I just crave 3-week-old jakes. That's all I need.
Well,
I was not a good turkey hunter not that long ago where I did not know how to make a mouth call. I did not know how to use one. I didn't know, like, I was not good on a box, like a pot call, anything. And I said, you know, screw this. I'm going to hunt turkeys and do it right. And,
jumped into the deep end. You didn't know how to swim, and you just figured it out.
It's like, I'm going to fucking swim, or I'm just going
to... I've drowned
already. Because I'm sick of showing up every year, waiting for someone else to call for me. So I only hunt when they hunt, and then they sleep in. It pisses me off. It's
like,
I want to get out there, and I have the bug. I have the itch. How can I now itch it myself rather than having to depend on others? Sibeli, he'll just keep depending on me. Like, that's just how it is. You know?
Excuse me, sir. I use pot calls
You're right. You killed your first bird on your own this year.
I killed my first bird this year.
Mad props for it.
Well, why don't, has that story been told?
Yeah, I think so. I mentioned it. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
At some,
yeah.
We might have mentioned it the last time we had you on.
Episode 113, I think, if you go
about you killing a Jake, and that episode's like probably 2 hours
long. I just made that up.
I'm auditing that.
Detail throughout the day.
I mean, it was just stupid Jake. I mean, I could have literally just closed my car door a couple times and it would have come in, but.
It's 163, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
50 off.
Shit.
I'm like, there's no way.
I guess. Who knows?
Yeah.
Idiot. Anyways, so.
Be nice.
I love the whole turkey talk. Obviously, you guys know that. But
yeah.
We do got to get into some topics here. We have two topics that if we don't talk about, Seth's going to jump on that microphone again and nobody wants to listen to that.
Well, too late. The wind is blowing, people.
So Kyle, last year, correct me if I'm wrong, last year you first started into the world of taxidermy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Last year, probably would have been two summers ago. Hunting is just like, there's so many avenues, you know, roads you can take in hunting. It opens up so many windows. And for me, one of the big ones was, I don't want to pay somebody $700 to do my taxidermy mount. And, you know, I grew up kind of artistic. I was always in art. I was like, watch some YouTube videos. I could probably figure this out. Well, I watched some YouTube videos. I was like, oh, this is over my head. So I did some searching on the internet. And I actually found a guy. He's kind of local. Punxsutawney. It's roughly close, about 2 hours from here. And but his name's Mark Jordan, and he runs a taxidermy school out of the Punxsutawney area. And I was one of his first students for a whitetail program that he started running. So it's basically a week long course. You go there. When I did it, it was about $3,200. But the thing is, you're working on your own deer. So right there, you know, average these days is around $700 for a shoulder mount. And so deduct that from your $3,200.
Right.
I get there and then they give you all like the airbrushing kits. They give you the form. They give you all this stuff that, you know, you basically come out of there only spending like maybe $1,000, you know. And this guy, Mark Jordan, you can probably look him up. He's won multiple taxidermy contests. He'll tell you he doesn't enter contests anymore because he knows the quality of his work. He doesn't need somebody else to give him a grade on it. So he's more like trying to, you know, pass on his knowledge to, you know, the future generation. It was a week-long course, and man, it was rough. I had to be there at 6 a.m., and some of the nights he would leave, but he wanted you to get to a certain point by the next morning. So we would stay afterwards. A lot of times, you know, 8, 9 o'clock, because I want something to be right. And this guy.
How the hell did you pull that off with job, life?
Well, you know, I sacrificed my vacation. You know, I sacrificed my elk hunt for that year. If you've listened to I did a couple other podcasts, and I always like to go to Oregon once a year. This year I was like, well, you know, I'm really interested in taxidermy. I don't have all the finances in the world. So you're going to go elk hunting. You're going to try to learn some taxidermy. So I made a decision to, you know, hopefully this is going to be my retirement job. And I'm not retiring anytime soon, obviously. But, you know, taxidermy, getting to that point, I feel like it's something I'd like to do. And so I got in there. I took that course. It was a week long. Like I said, it was hard and it was involved. It was more involved than I thought it was. You know, he's basically a drill sergeant. He wants that work to be the quality of his, because his name is kind of attached to it. I'm using it right now, you know?
Right.
So it's like I actually ended up redoing one of my old mounts that I had done locally. And it just wasn't a good quality. So it was a mount I wanted to redo. It was one of the biggest deer I shot. So I took that in there. We got to tear it apart. He told me where the guy went wrong on every step. That, yeah, it's like he didn't use, you know, he didn't even glue the entire body. He didn't do any clay work. It's like, and my form was falling apart. And this is the biggest deer I ever shot. This is important to me, you know?
Right.
And I wanted to get it the redone, but it's like I didn't have any faith in my taxidermist. So it's like, you know, what do I do? And it's like, I could do better myself. So that's what I did. And went through that taxidermy course and started doing my own deer. And I basically just did two of my own deer the first year, and now I got 5 clients this year.
So nice.
Sibs dropped off one of his deer to me.
I dropped one of my first buck off, and then I even reached out and talked to two of my other buddies, and one of them ended up even
one of them yeah.
reaching out to him. And
what's his name?
Josh.
Josh, yeah. You can let him know his cape is being tanned.
Ooh.
Patiently awaiting that.
Ooh.
Come back.
That, I understand, is a longer process than it'd be ever.
Yeah.
It's the one of the longest part of the process.
It is the longest part.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. You know, when I'm sending a cape out to get tanned, and hopefully some year I'll get to that step where I can do that process myself. But I'm starting out, you know, I'm not there yet.
Does that take a big setup to do?
I would think, you know, a lot of time.
Yeah.
If you don't have a very good setup, there's a lot of time there involved. So it's more time saving, more cost saving for me to send that out and have that done and mailed back to me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, that takes, and they'll tell you 4 to 6 months before you're getting your cape back. You know, a lot of guys like, they wait over a year for their deer and they don't know why. Well, the tanning process just took 6 months.
Right.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, and I get more into it, more involved, that's a step I want to learn too. Not just for deer, but for other animals.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys with the tanning process, it's like, yeah, you're going to save some money if you tan yourself. Mm-hmm. But the headache that is involved with it, like the pain in the ass, everything that comes with it,
yeah,
it's not worth it to them.
Right.
They'd rather
right.
send it out.
Yep.
Because it's just like, why? I mean, especially if you have a good tannery, yep. too, like they come back really, really
right. I wonder how many you can do at a time. Like how many, like that, whoever you sent it to, I wonder like how many he has.
Oh, dude, they're...
I think yeah. they're really big tanks, man.
Yeah.
There's some big tanneries.
They blow through thousands and thousands and thousands.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You'll have some smaller local guys that are doing them.
Right.
And that's kind of like what I want. I want to get in with a local guy that does it, you know, because it's going to be closer to me. I'm going to not have to ship that stuff out and be worried about it arriving. You just got to watch
quality at that point because quality can take a hit.
Exactly.
That's the tough part.
Exactly. Yeah. Finding a good guy. And that's all. Also, you know, that's why I like... You know, Brian came, he dropped his deer off to me directly, and I caped it out. And that's a big process, too. You know, the less nicks I get in that cape when I'm caping it out, the better that taxidermy mount's going to come out.
Right.
You know, every little nick matters. So it's like when somebody brings a deer to me, it's like I'm super OCD about it.
Chuck was precision.
I checked Chuck's work. He did a good job.
Okay.
He did a good job.
Oh, Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm no expert by any means.
Very little holes.
Thanks.
If any.
Very little
Chuck,
holes.
I can't remember.
Chuck, you have very holes little in
the
holes. Case.
I don't remember making any in the important parts.
You have very little holes, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You're welcome. My little holes helped you out.
I'm actually working on Seth's deer right now. He's pretty anxious to get it back. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've had it for probably about a year now. But that's my marketing scheme. You know, it's like when Brian came over to my house, I had to have a deer set up so he could see my work.
He wasn't going to give me the pay.
As
soon as I walked in the door.
He liked what he saw.
Yeah, he had a couple hung up. He was like, oh, yeah, this, you know, it's not too bad. I haven't been working too long on this one. I was like, wow, look how cool that looks.
Thanks, man. But yeah, no, that's, I like to have my work up, you know, so people can see what they're paying for.
Absolutely.
You know, and then if they pay me, and then that gives me confidence that they like what I'm doing, you know, because that's a big, I'm just starting out, you know, I need that reassurance.
It's tough, man.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm super like, I'm very picky, and I'm very OCD, and it's like, I will be my worst critic. You know, I beat myself down. Something's not perfect. Something like, I don't want to put that on my wall. Then it's like, it beats me up.
Yeah.
And it's something that the customer might not ever notice. But for me, it's like, I want to do better. I want to do better. I want to do better.
And that'll come with time even. You know, you're gonna make little mistakes here and there. And you'll learn from them.
Yeah.
And you'll adapt and become better and better and better. There's a reason why guys that do taxidermy that are really good have a lot of years doing it.
Yeah.
You know, they've made those mistakes.
Hands-on experience, man. With something like that, it's an art form.
We'll
just be honest with you, you know. Yeah. And if you're not an artist, you're probably not going to do the best job at it.
Yeah.
And that, the first year I got mounted, that ended up remounting at school. I don't think the guy's quite an artist.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. He's just kind of puts deer mounts together.
He does. Yeah. And actually, I shot that deer when I was 18. So I was just thrilled to get it back. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just taxidermy in itself is such an interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I looked into a lot of as well and looked into classes and whatnot.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of years back. And I was just like, man, you know, this would be awesome. Because like you said, I don't want to pay $600-$700 every time I want to get a deer mounted.
Right.
I would love to just be able to do my own. I don't care if I do anyone else's. I just want to do my own.
Yeah.
And the more I looked into it, I was like, yeah, fuck that.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work, dude. It's a
ton
of
work. It's time invested. But, you know, it's one of those things, like I said, if you're an artist, you know, you kind of like sucked into it. You know, you just, and then you just want to do better and better and better.
Yep.
So that's kind of like the point I'm at. It's like, I just want to keep getting better.
Yeah.
But I know, being my own worst critic, that I'll never be happy with my work.
Very meticulous as well. Like, that's the thing. Dude, you got to be.
It's like, it's like when you're working on your home, you know, it's like if somebody else does the work for you, you're not going to notice the little mistakes.
Right.
But if you're doing that work yourself, man, you're going to look at that, you know, uneven tile and that thing's going to beat you up the rest of your life.
Yep. Damn chair rail I did the other day. It's like a quarter of an inch. It's like an eighth of an inch off and it just pisses me
There you
off.
Go, man. Yeah, no nobody way, notices dude. It but you.
Pisses me off.
You're
no
the only
end.
One who knows.
No, I noticed it today, actually.
Shut up.
It was pretty evident.
How big's an eighth inch?
Let me get my dick.
Measure it twice. He said an eighth.
Unbelievable.
I like a little self-criticism.
Hey, every once in a while, you need a little bit.
That's all right.
Oh, good shit. Good shit.
Unreal.
What else you got on that list there?
The other thing that we have to talk about is that I understand you're training some dogs for...
Oh, God. Yeah.
For recovery.
Seth did tell you about that. He did. I got one 8-year-old bloodhound at home who I actually, you know, the purpose when I got her, you know, I grew up with beagles. So I just love hound dogs, mm-hmm. man. There's just, when you get home from work and that dog's baying in your face, it's the best thing to come home to. So I ended up with a hound dog and I had plans for her to, you know, find deer shed. Well, that didn't work out so well. She likes to chew on them, not so much find them. So kind of made the switch and started to try to, you know, train her to track. So the way I did it is we would play a game around the house basically called Find It. So I would bring an object up to her. You know, she has already she knows what sit means. She knows what stay means. So basically I had to introduce her to say what find it means. Well, just wave, you know, treat in front of their face, make them stay, go hide it, tell them to find it. I did that multiple times, and then she loves that game.
Okay.
It's like she will run around my house, and I will drag that treat on the floor, whatever, Kong, you know. She's loves stuffed animals, too. You got to know your dog a little bit. You got to know if they're, like, more food-driven or play-driven. My dog is more, she likes the acknowledgement. She likes to know that I'm happy and proud of her.
Okay.
And then she likes to play. Mm-hmm. She's difficult. So basically, we would play that game, find it, and you could hear, like, once she started figuring out that she was going to be finding an object, I would hear her nose working more and more. It's like nose to the ground, and I could just hear her breathing, like taking in as much scent as possible. And that's what got me excited. I'm like, okay, she's starting to get it. And then she got good, man. I was like, I can hide that treat like behind curtains, anywhere in the house, and she finds it. So I was like, how do I, you know, kind of move on from the treat game, take this into the woods where she's tracking deer? It's like, well, I'm going to use the same command, find it. But what I ended up doing is I actually got a deer, saved some of the blood, and then I would trail that deer, you know, that blood somewhere in my backyard, put her on that scent, and ask her to find it. Now, keep in mind, when I was playing the find it game at home, before I gave her the command to find it, I would waft it in front of her nose. She had the command to stay. She wasn't allowed to move. So I'd wave that treat in front of her nose, make her look at it, say, find it. Then I would go hide that treat somewhere in the house. Then I would go back to her, say, free girl, find it. And I would make a ruckus. I'm like, let's go. Let's find it. The more excited I was for her, the more amped up she got.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's like when I was actually, Seth got a hold of me. His nephew had shot a deer. So we'll see how this, you know, relays into the field. Now, his nephew is a new hunter. He's a little bit younger and he's using a crossbow. What ended up happening is he kind of pawn shot. And we went in that night trying to find it. It was getting dark, so we were kind of blindly walking around through the woods, you know, and I kind of told the guys, I was like, you know, we can walk over this trail all day. I said, or I can bring my hound in here tomorrow and we see how she does. So I met his nephew. Seth wasn't able to be there that morning, but we went out first thing in the morning. I think he got to take a little time off school, and I put her on the trail. We found blood. We never found the arrow, But that day I brought her out that morning, she found arrow immediately. I took a look at it and I was like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, this doesn't look good. Definitely paunch. So I put her on that scent, gave her the command to find it. She drug me down this hill, man. She was hauling ass. And I had told his nephew, I was like, listen, once I'm not really allowed to take her off the leash. I was
right.
So once she starts on this trail, I'm going to be keeping as close to her as I can, keeping up with her. I said, you just kind of keep an eye out for blood, you know, try to keep up with me. If you find anything we didn't find last night, let me know. So the dog, she runs down, and then we get to this row, this power line of multiflora rose bush. She holds up, like, I don't want to go any further. So, like I told you, she's a little difficult.
Damn hound dog.
Oh, man. So I got in front of her, and I had to march through that stuff to tramp it down so she would go through it. And it was a power line, so it was like, what, you know, 15 yards wide.
Right.
So I get to the other, finally get to the other side of that brush, and she stops on a dime, and this time turns back into that multiflora rose, this time dragging me. So she was hesitant to go into the thorns, but now she's, I'm like, this is interesting. Within 5 yards, she stops right next to this telephone pole, and I catch up to her. You know, I had her on one of those retractable leashes. It's like, you know, pretty long. So I catch up to her and I'm like, shit, there's the deer.
No shit.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So she was kind of like, all right, what's next? But me and his nephew were high five and we're like, dang, yeah. It worked. She's like, she's got it. She's got it. So last year is like first successful recovery. And now I got a 9-month puppy at home that I'm training. And I can already tell because my current bloodhound, I didn't get till she was 2 years old. Okay. So it's a little late getting that training going. And this puppy, she's already got that nose working. And I'm just, you know, chomping at the bit for her to start responding to commands before we start implying them. So, yeah, I never saw myself tracking deer, but here I am. You know, I got two bloodhounds and, man, they're a lot of work, but rewarding too.
Heck yeah.
That sounds awesome, man.
Yeah. Yep. So sure. If you guys can send me some work, you know,
I was gonna say, you're gonna have to, even like the, you know, the deer's dead, ran 100 yards top of,
oh, I'd love it. Yeah. Yeah. If you can get to me, you know, give me a buzz, just give my dog some work, you know, that's what I want. Even the puppy. Yeah. She would love it.
I know when Austin and I talked to the dog tracking lady that we used the time to find your buck.
Susan Edwards.
She had mentioned, you know, for training purposes, a lot of like her blood.
Yeah.
That really, really dark blood. So that is the absolute best blood for training. So,
okay.
Little tip as well.
I'll take that.
It's just so funny because a lot of these dogs aren't even tracking by the blood either. You know, they're tracking by like that gland in their foot, right?
Right.
When they get off a scent. It's so weird. Like, how do you train for that?
But yeah,
these dogs,
they say they can like track a specific deer. Like, that's wild. No, I don't really
get
it.
So much into it.
I think we used Susan too one time. Seth used her. Yeah, yeah. She's got beagles, right?
Yeah, she's got beagles. She runs. She doesn't blood track anymore. Yeah, but yeah.
She doesn't do it anymore.
No, she doesn't do it anymore. Some health issues.
Yeah.
Best of health to you.
She was a good lady.
The heck was her dog's name? I can't remember now. The one that helped.
I don't remember either.
It wasn't Lucy. Lucy's my new dog, right? The one I used last year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Ago. Yeah. That was an amazing process, though. That was.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
The first year in Pennsylvania that you could use a dog, and we were like real hesitant about it. But we started calling, and everybody we called, they were like, oh, the one guy was up in Erie on a fishing charter. And
yeah.
We're calling. Yeah, and no, calling,
well,
and calling.
Well, that's the thing, because like Seth, he got a hold of me. He had a friend that, you know, in Ohio that he had shot, you know, his daughter had shot a deer, and he wanted me to track it. And I told him, I was like, Seth, I haven't shot a deer yet. I was like, I'd like to go. And I'm like, I only try to do this for my friends at the moment, you know, but the more and more I get into it, the more and more I was like, I just want to get this dog some work.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the biggest problem about this is usually when it's really good is when everybody's shooting deer.
Oh,
that's
right.
And that's when you're going to be the busiest.
Yeah.
So it's like,
you
got to almost juggle.
You know when the rut's hitting.
Yeah. Like, am I hunting or am I going to be tracking?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And there's room for both for sure.
Yeah, there is. If I get out and pattern some deer in these, you know, in the summer months, then get lucky early, that free up a lot of time for me in the fall.
Definitely.
Heck yeah. So then this will be a great question for you since you're just now getting into it. But how do you feel about the drone deer recovery thing?
I personally, I've never really thought about it. It's a good question. My initial response is to say that I'm not fond of the drones. I just feel like there's too much technology involved these days.
Yeah.
So I think like the drones, you know, it's, I just like, I mean, even like for me, you know, I have an Instagram page and it, I really had to like, I kind of got stuck in that social media phase. It's like, I was, every time I was out hunting, it's like, I wanted to post something and, you know, I wanted to have success. And then it's like, I kind of felt myself get into this trap. You know, for me, it's just me out there. You're like, you guys got a group of guys, and I feel like that's a better way to do it. Because I think for me, you know, trying to keep up with the social media thing was taking away a lot of what I was learning in the field. And I don't know, it's almost like it was turned into a job for me. And I didn't like that. And with that came less success. You know, I wanted like, I don't know. You know, we all want to have like, we all want to be famous. You know, even if we don't think about it, we want that. We want that 1,000
liker. You want that little bit of gratification.
You want
right?
the gratification that you did something special.
We had a buddy of ours, shout out Joe, who kind of felt the same way early on, where he screwed up being able to shoot a Tom, what was it, the first week of the season? And it led to his mental downward spiral for the rest of the season because he couldn't get on one.
Yeah.
He cost himself early because he was trying to set up a camera and get some shots and stuff.
Yeah.
So literally the whole season was watching someone absolutely dive into madness because he couldn't get on a bird. He ended up shooting one, I think was it the last week?
Yeah, on one of my pins. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a Chuck Supply pin.
Yeah.
Well, that's
how do I get a hold of these pins?
Yeah, these pins keep coming back.
They're called CSPs. They're CSPs, Chuck Supply pins.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but you want that success so bad. And it's like, and you want that. I mean, it's sweet to have a kill shot on video. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's freaking awesome, but it's freaking hard to do too.
Yeah.
But it's a lot easier if there's somebody else with you. And that's like the thing. I was like, you know, this really isn't working out. I was like, I just kind of need to take a step back and kind of reanalyze what I'm doing here. And,
So basically you're saying the whole technology is the downfall.
Yeah. So getting back to like the drones and the technology and stuff, it's like, I don't know. Hunting's such like a, it's like a, I don't know. It's
it'll be abused at some point. I had some.
It's like a vintage, it's like special thing. It's like
a personal, yeah.
Yeah.
Inner thing that we have. And here's the problem. And I totally understand where you're coming from. And I'm like, listen, I am pro drone. I really am for deer recovery. Because here's the thing, it doesn't matter what you have, someone is going to be something regardless. Yeah, right. Drones are out there. You're not going to stop drones from being out there. So the technology is already there. Why are we not using it for the good? We can't make, in my opinion, you can't make laws and regulations based off of what somebody could do negatively, because that's always going to happen no matter what.
Yeah.
It's, you know, what is the good side of drones? And it's the same with deer or the dogs. I am so happy Pennsylvania legalized dog recovery.
Oh, me too.
Mm-hmm. It's like, why wouldn't you have
Wait,
that?
How long was it not?
Oh, it just became a thing like 5-6 years ago.
Oh, 2019, 2018, something like that?
Yeah, that was the first year they're like, hey, Pennsylvania, by the way, you're allowed to go use dogs to recover.
That's wild.
Deer. Yeah.
Yeah, it was recently.
So like all those years that I had hit, or me, you know, I've hit a couple I've never found that were gut shot 100%. And we just lost blood, it rained, whatever the scenario is. You put a dog in there, it takes all that out. Yeah. All that guesswork out. Anymore, if I did that same thing, I shoot a deer and I gut shot it and it's, you know, it's raining or whatever, I'm just going to back out. Because I know I can call in a dog and 90%, but there's a very, very high percentage chance on a gut shot deer, that dog's going to find that deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to find it. They don't need blood. They don't need... What we need is
exactly what happened to mine.
Yeah, 100%.
I shot it far back, and it immediately started pouring rain.
Yep.
Nah.
I'm not even exaggerating. Like, I let that arrow fly, and it started downpouring.
Was it this year or this past season?
No, this was back in
That was the first year that they allowed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that deer, we tracked it. We brought in a tracking party, and we lost blood. I mean, very quick because it was raining.
Right.
And then it was kind of like, oh, do we body search for it? What are we going to do? I hit it far back. We got to let it go.
Yeah.
And we brought that dog in the very next day. Deer was stiff as a board. We'd have never found this thing. It was a total hellhole. I mean, we're climbing on our hands and knees through a swamp.
Yeah.
It's all that red brush swamp, grass, and all that stuff. It was so nasty. We'd have never found it, but that dog drug us through that, and it was just, it was perfect.
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, it's like, I would say for recovering deer, a drone is probably less of an advantage than a deer, or a dog, I'm sorry. Because you think of the places where deer go when they die. Are you going to be able to see that deer with a drone?
With thermal, maybe.
Yeah, thermal? For sure.
Yeah.
A lot of those drones have thermal.
They're all thermal, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a guy on YouTube.
Well, that's another thing.
It's very impressive, but...
Well, thermal would work during the day.
Do you have TikTok? Right?
Yeah.
Go on TikTok and look up drone deer recovery.
Okay. No, he's on YouTube.
Well, he's on YouTube. I've only ever really watched him on TikTok. Really?
Yeah. I've watched all of his YouTube videos. Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
I'm
torn about this subject, and we've been debating for a little while about getting a guy on for drone and for and against and like really trying to put it together. But like, I like the idea of it. I think using a drone's awesome, but I've had that firsthand experience with a dog also. So I'm kind of torn by it.
Which would be more special to you?
The dog.
100%. The dog was awesome. I mean, it was really great. But at the end of the day, like, I want people to recover their deer.
Yeah.
Whether they use a drone or a dog, or you don't need any of them, you just make a perfect shot.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I don't have the time to train a dog. Sure. I would love to go buy a drone and go out and do what you're doing, but do it for other people.
It's more accessible to buy a drone.
100%. For sure. Yeah. Now, I did definitely have somebody illegally flying one over me this year in rifle.
Did you?
Oh, I was piloted by Hamas for sure.
You sure that wasn't the government checking up on how many guns you own?
No, they already know how many I have. Or do they?
Or do they?
I lost all mine in a boating accident, just so
they
everybody knows.
They can come take if they want. Now, no, but seriously, somebody was flying one like low and fast, like over me, kept like circling me like...
Going
wild. Like, it wasn't definitely any sort of like search pattern or like trying to find anything. And it was just,
that's weird.
It was going wild. That was the first time I had ever, you know, encountered one on public. Yeah. But it was definitely going crazy. And I don't think it was the Amish that were also there while I was hunting in this particular spot.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Why wouldn't you think it was the Amish flying a drone?
I would tell you straight up.
So.
Oh, okay.
Amish are probably the number one client for the drone deer recovery.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
They're probably the number one rule breaker, too. Sorry.
Yeah, well,
I have to say.
You know. We know.
So right now, they're definitely fine.
But the drone deer recovery guy, the guy that runs it, that's the owner, and he's basically the OG of this whole drone phenom.
Right? I got you.
Yeah.
He's ex-Amish.
Oh, yeah.
But also, like, think about it. Amish have a ton of cash, ton of resources. Like, they don't give a shit. They'll spend whatever to find their deer. But they have a lot of Amish people.
Yeah, I know.
If you watch their YouTube channel, a lot of Amish people.
Yeah, they pillage all the public around here. Yeah,
it's funny that they're the ones, I think, people that don't use technology is using the most technologically advanced way to recover an animal.
Yeah,
it makes zero sense. Yeah.
But I am, you know, I totally understand where you're coming from. Like, the technology thing is getting too far. And I totally get that, dude. I've had dogs recover multiple animals. There is almost no better feeling because, one, you're out on the track with the dog.
Yeah.
Whereas drone, you're sitting beside a computer screen basically watching a guy fly over top.
Right.
And map, you know, looking for a deer. Where I'm out there, I'm learning. I'm learning what the deer did, how the deer moved. I'm dropping pins as I'm going through, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
You just don't get that.
You don't get
personal
that
stuff. Yeah.
You get those personal tips and stuff from the dog trackers too. When you're out there on the track, like we came to a spot where we lost blood and the dog was a little bit confused and that wind shifted. And the dog started going on just a straight beeline.
Yeah, beelined it.
And she was like, oh, man. And she
would you
like,
remember
at this
it was
point,
like up on two legs? Yeah. Like wind
must
checking.
Have been
wind
close.
Checking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
went on a straight line and it made that 90-degree turn.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, we're finding your deer now.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And she mentioned like a lot of times when those deer have those gut shots and stuff too, I think I'm pretty sure I'm not like making this up.
You're
she
not.
Was like, they make these 90-degree angles and they just do their death run. And then he J-hooked right into his bed.
Yep. Yeah.
It was like picture perfect.
Yeah. Basically, a lot of times when a deer is bumped, and we did bump that deer that
we
night
did bump
before
that deer,
we had the dog, they will run and just gut shot deer run straight. They will just go straight.
Okay.
And that was like, she was looking at her GPS and she's like, well, because at one point the dog was so excited, she thought, we're probably not going to find this dog. or this deer, it might be alive.
Right.
And she looked at her GPS. She's like, well, it hasn't turned. It's going in a straight line. She said, this is very common. Uh-huh. I think we'll find your deer.
Close,
dude, we went another 50, 60 yards. And I think I looked over to the left and saw a deer just piled up, its head up in the air. And I'm like, holy shit, it's right there.
Yeah. High five and all around.
Oh, yeah. It was wild.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, and I don't know. Maybe Seth had tapped out, but I will say it's like late, you know, in the last few years, there's been a lot of new hunters in the woods, and they're more, you know, more technology driven, you know, making the hunt easier. But I think the hunt's never easy.
It's not.
And whether you're using a drone or a dog to recover a deer, it's like getting to that point is hard.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get there unless you put in the effort. So any way you recover your deer, I'm with you guys.
Yeah.
You know, do what you got to do, you know, as long as it's within the legal limits and, you know, get your deer, eat that thing.
That's where I'm at, man. I just want people to ethically be able to ethically and legally recover their animals when they can. You know, give somebody the best possible odds of recovering. If there's an animal out there suffering or dead,
right,
I want it not to go to waste. And
yeah.
Does anything really go to waste? No, but, you know,
right.
Like we started this whole thing off with culinary and eating wild game. Mm-hmm. That's like a number one driver to why we just, right? Yeah. It's up there.
Heck, man.
At the end of the day, that's why a lot of people get into it. And why not give everybody the best chance possible to recover and enjoy that?
I can only imagine the drone sales the day after if Pennsylvania.
Yeah. It's going to be out of control.
It's going to be wild.
DJI would literally, like, their factories would shut down.
Let me play devil's advocate. You're probably going to need to register that drone within the Pennsylvania Game Commission. That might cost you $10-$20 a year.
Yeah, if you get the right drone, I'm all for it.
I really am.
Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get that right drone, too. You got to get your drone pilot's license and everything and be FAA approved and all that fun stuff. So,
which is
there's a little bit of barrier to entry.
I'll stick to the dogs. Yeah. I'm far enough along now. I can't sway from the path.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I don't know, man. It's amazing stuff. It's wonderful watching. We've talked about a lot on this show, like talking about dogs, hunting with dogs, watching dogs work. Sometimes it's more enjoyable than hunting itself.
Yeah.
These animals are just absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
The relationship you can form with a dog, especially a hunting dog, is like none other. Mm-hmm. That dog, you know, they want a job. They will die hunting.
Yeah.
And they will happily die hunting.
Speaking of dying while hunting, we have somebody over there that's melded into the table for anybody that's listening. There's a certain human being who is
sorry for the snoring.
The upper half of their torso has now become one with the table.
The dude makes a lot of hats.
This buffalo just ran him right over.
A lot of hats.
He makes great hats.
He does make great hats.
Great hats.
Good old Seth. Here we go. I got one for him.
Yeah. Can't believe it. If it isn't my concho himself,
oh, it's waking him up. You got to shake it before you bake it. Seth. All right, boys. Any last words?
No, I'm all good.
Hey, Kyle. Get out there. Hunt, man. Get out there and hunt. Change your life.
Much appreciated, man.
Change my life. Save my life.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on, brother.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome back anytime.
Cheers, brothers.
Cheers.
Again. Cheers, folks.
Until next week.
The distraction is real.